Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, and good morning. Welcome to Josie's Inspiration. This is Josie Hopkins, and I am so blessed to be able to be with you today as I share a message of inspiration that I hope will touch your life and to move you toward what God is calling you to do. Last week, I talked about the storms of life, and I talked about a little bit about how there are so many storms that we are going through. And we realize that we've just gone through the hurricanes, and they're still lingering off to the coast of the east, and possibly others will come along. But, you know, for those who are in sunny days or in sunny places, it can be easy to forget about those who are still in the storm. And so this morning, as I prayed for a message to share with you, and I opened up my God's little devotional book for women, two things came to me. My message, when the storm doesn't stop. And when I opened up my book this morning, the scripture that was there is from Romans. But the topic says, you should never let adversity get you down, except on your knees. And that's really a powerful word, because adversity and storms are always going to come. And I'm sure for those who are in Puerto Rico, those who are in places in the Caribbean, those who were affected by the storms in Houston and in New Orleans and Louisiana, those who have been affected in Florida, those who are being affected by storms all around us, not just weather storms, but the storms that are confronting us as we open the news, as we walk in our home, as we turn on the TV, there is a rage of storm all around us. So when the storm doesn't stop, what do? When it seems like all is falling apart in your life, how do you stand? Where do you turn? Where do you go for direction? And this scripture says in Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to read to you the passage that comes with this particular scripture, and I haven't read it already, so I'm just trusting and following God's lead that there's going to be a word in here for you and for me. And this says, many people see abundant spring rains as a great blessing to farmers, especially if the rains come after the plants have sprouted and are several inches tall. What they don't realize is even a short drought can have a devastating effect on a crop of seedlings that have received too much rain. Why? Because during frequent rains, the young plants are not required to push their roots deeper into the soil in search of water. If a drought occurs later, plants with shallow root systems will quickly die. We often receive abundance into our lives, rich fellowship, great teaching, thorough soakings of spiritual blessings. Tragedy enters our lives. We may find ourselves thinking God has abandoned us or is unfaithful. The fact is, we have allowed our easiness, the easiness of our lives, to keep us from pushing our spiritual roots deeper. We have allowed others to spoon-fed us rather than develop our own deep personal relationship with God through prayer and study of His Word. Only the deeply rooted are able to endure hard times without wilting. The best advice is to enjoy the rain while seeking to grow even closer to Him. Wow. I'm going to read part of that again. We often receive abundance into our lives. I think as I was talking with Kayla this morning, and we were talking about, you know, just that are happening, and I'm so grateful for the Finding My Way Network to allow me to bring Josie's inspiration, because this is my purpose that was developed and was shared with me through God many years ago, Josie's inspiration. And for a number of years, I did blog talk, and there, if you go search, there is a blog talk radio for Josie's inspiration that has shows that go back quite a ways. From 2008, I think, until about 2013. And so what I understand is that we get many blessings in our lives. We get great teachings, and we get thorough soakings of spiritual blessings. And then something comes along to disrupt that. And as I spoke with Kayla this morning, and we talked about some of the disruptors that are happening in our world, I'm keenly aware that Finding My Way Network has affiliates, Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico belongs to us. It belongs to these United States. So I pray that people are not forgetting that we still have people suffering that are a part of our country. But the suffering goes beyond just the United States. But we play a major role in the country and in the world here in the United States. And as Christians, as believers in God, or those who believe whatever your faith, it doesn't matter. We have a source that is greater than all the tragedies to whom we can turn when we turn on the TV and we see language that's damaging to the people that are being used to separate God's people. When we see tragedies that are happening, man-made and not man-made, we could lose hope. We could tunnel ourselves and bury our heads in the sand and pretend none of it's happening. But ye of little faith, regain strength. We have to be believers. We have to be not just believers, but doers of the world. It started off in my reading saying you should never let adversity get you down except on your knees. But again, on your knees. I learned as a child, and maybe many of you listening learned as a child, to get down on your knees and pray and say your prayers, to give honor to God, to praise and to thank Him for your blessings, to seek His direction. But even as I said that, except on your knees, I had a vision in my mind of all those NFL players who have been down on their knees. I have a vision of Colin Kaepernick down on his knees for what he believes in, knees, the bending effect of our knees is a submission, not to man, but to God. We need to submit to God on our knees, not for the world, but for our own spiritual strengthening. You should never let adversity get you down except on your knees. When the storm doesn't stop, you've got to get on your knees. You can't look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, solve my problem. Neighbor, help me. But we can look to our neighbor and we can link arms together with our neighbors and we can kneel for God. We can kneel in prayer and ask God to deliver his people, to touch in a mighty way who are being stricken by the storms of life, by the weather, the real storm, by personal storms, by personal tragedies. Kneel to the Almighty and give him the opportunity to help you overcome, even in the midst of the storm. When I start speaking, you know, it's always amazing to me because I just sit down and I'm sitting here. I told Kayla, I'm in my praying chair this morning, which is on my back deck. It's a beautiful enclosed that I'm blessed that my husband created for me because he knows how much I love to be in nature. And I'll sit outside in the snow. I would sit outside in the rain just when I had a little deck that was not covered by anything except the trees. And so he enclosed this for me to give me a place that I could sit and enjoy and not be affected by the weather. But the weather is still here. And even though as I look out, I see the sun, I see the trees, I see the grass, I see the leaves changing, I see earth beauty all around me, I'm aware that others are waking up. They may be seeing the sun, but they may be seeing the devastation that has been left by the wind and the rain. They may be seeing the devastation from where there were lush green trees and beautiful scenery and resort areas. They're seeing devastation, dying, death, hunger, famine. We can't forget that we have to link arms. It's not our government that can save us. It is not our government that will rescue us. It is not our government that gives us peace of mind or direction for our lives. It is not our government or our president or our congressman or our senators. They are tools. And sometimes they're tools that are used in a destructive manner as we're seeing around us. But we are the people. We are the people who have been given an opportunity to link arms, to get down on our knees together, and to stand, even as we kneel in prayer, to stand for something greater than ourselves. Stand for our fellow man. Stand for our rights. What we know God is calling us to do. I believe we all have a call on our lives. From the day that we're born, there's a purpose that's been placed on us. Maybe we've been diverted and we think that we've lost our way. But the path that you're on may not seem to be a smooth one. It may not seem to be a straight one. It's taken us through some bumpy roads, but all of those pathways, all of those roads that we've been on, the journey that we continue to be on has a purpose. The moaning, the trials and the tribulations that you experience, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in the tragedy for an awakening. There is an awakening happening, and it's calling us to pay attention, to pay attention to God's messages that he has for our lives. When I look back at Romans and Romans 8, it talks about how we are able to see ourselves in the flesh and see that the flesh can deter us from the godliness in us. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. We enjoy so many privileges in this country, and it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in the abundance of our lives, in the things that give us immediate gratification. We're washed away or blown away. And when they are, what do you have when the storms don't stop? What are you left with when the rains continue to pour? What do you hold on to when the winds of life blow so torrentially that, oh my God, all you can do is call on his name? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I don't know anyone who's sitting around and saying, well, I'm ready to die. Lord, take me home now. Possibly those who have weathered enough storms and have seen the glory of God in the midst of the storm are able to acknowledge that there is something better beyond this life. But for many of us, or for those, and I'll just say for me, while I know that God has a greater purpose, while I believe that there is a life that God has for me beyond this earthly life, that there is something greater beyond my present right now, I'm not ready to give it up and say, okay, you know what, I'm done. Lord, take me home. What I am willing to say is, God, use me as an instrument. Use me as an inspiration. Use me in the way that you would have me do the work that you're calling me to do. Gary. Because when God puts something on your heart, you don't always know the path that it's going to lead you. You know, I told Kayla that in being on Finding My Way Radio and being introduced to her, I was being open to God to use me. I know there have been many times that God has shown me a glimpse of a direction or something that he has for me, and I jump out ahead and I say, okay, God, I know what it is. I'm going to go run and do it right now. Who's done that before? You know, that's the childlike behavior. Children, we're ready to run before we can walk. We're ready to fly, to soar into new things. But we haven't been grounded yet. And so, like those plants, like those crops that have been planted, if our seedlings have not been rooted deeply in our faith, if we have not been rooted, if we're not staying in his word and staying in his presence, then when those winds and storms of life come, we're going to be blown and tossed about, just like leaves, just like unrooted seedlings. So I believe as we mature, we're rooted, because we've seen some things. We've felt some storms. We've experienced some trials and tribulations that have shown us on the other side that God is still faithful, that God still blesses us, that he brings us through the storms, even when it appears the storms don't stop. Maybe it's not a rainstorm. Maybe it's the wind. Maybe it's not a nature storm. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's not a storm for you personally, but maybe it's your family raging in all of our lives. So we've got to stay rooted in God. We've got to stay firmly planted in his word and in his message. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Strengthen your roots. Find that quiet time that you can listen for his message and for his word. He's trying to give us a message, but we have to be still. We have to be willing to hear him and not be afraid. Fear not, because he's not a God who's placed us here to be afraid, but to revere him and to revel in his mercy and to endure, not grudgingly, but thankfully and gratefully, because he gives us hope for times such as these. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even with ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Perseverance comes to those who are strong. So persevere, my loved ones. The storm hasn't stopped, and the storm continues to rage. I'm Josie Hopkins, and I pray that you will not let adversity get you down, except on your knees. God has a message for you, and his everlasting love is always present. And I pray for peace and healing for our country and for our world as God chooses to work a blessing and miracle in our lives. Be blessed until I come back in 2 weeks. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen. Greeting to all the saints in the world. This is Apostle Vusi coming live from South Africa from the Livingstone Ministries. Well, I'm happy again to speak to you. You know, in the past few weeks, we've been having challenges in the world, and there have been some attacks in other places in the world, especially Texas, and mostly in the world there's been attacks, and we're praying that God can hear our prayers, as 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, if my people may, who are called by my name, can humble themselves, cry unto me, I shall hear them from heaven, and I shall heal their land. We pray that God hears our prayers, and I believe in my heart that is, he has already heard our prayers, and all our prayers are answered. Amen. These are the difficult times that we're facing in the world. In Zimbabwe, they're facing as well their own battles. We also, in South Africa, facing an economic decline. In America, there's a lot of attacks. In Africa, there's a lot of poverty. In the Middle East, there's wars. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening in the world, and I believe in my heart that we're in those times, we're in the end times, amen, and we need to pray that, you know, we can, and also draw ourselves closer to God more than ever, than before. We have to, you know, as God says, draw nigh to me and I shall draw nigh to you. We have to draw closer to God so that he can draw himself closer to us. Amen. And I pray that God can open our spiritual eyes that we may see wondrous things from heaven and not see things that are happening around us and things of the world. You know, people, they forgot about God these days. They are running after things of the world. And you know, these are not times where we need to be after things of the world. God, Jesus says, beware that I'll come as a thief, you know, at night. So what about you? Are you preparing yourself for the next, you know, life, or are you just living for today? You're not thinking about tomorrow, what will happen? If Jesus comes back, is he going to come find you ready for him? Excuse me, is he going to find you ready for him? We have to cry out to the Lord. Amen. Teenagers are falling pregnant before the time. Fornication is on, you know, the highest level that we've ever seen. I mean, there's a statistics that I've just read online a few days ago, and it says, in the next 5 to 10 years, children between 5 and 13 years, they'll be engaging in sex. I mean, you can see that now even the lifespan is becoming shorter and shorter and shorter. Amen. As we have, have grown up to now, myself, my age, I'm more than 40 years old. I mean, the generation that is coming after us, I don't even believe that they'll reach 40. Amen. They won't reach 40. With the way things are going now, the Antichrist is here. And the Antichrist, we have to understand that the Antichrist is the system. Amen. The brainwash, the things that we see on TV, the things that we hear, the things that we read. Amen. Everything is just okay. We have to just, accept anything. We have to accept a man and a man marriage. We have to accept that a woman and a woman can get married. The order of God is being destroyed, that God created in him. He created he male and female. And the scripture says, so shall the man be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one. It never said, so a man and a man shall be joined to a man, and the two shall be. I don't know what to explain, but to say it, but it doesn't make sense. It's not a God-made family. Amen. We are destroying that completely. In any case, I'm happy to speak to the listeners out there in the world. This is the Divine Encounter show, where we share as well the testimonies, and also sometimes I invite some speakers or friends of mine to just come and pray with me, and also share some their stories with me. Amen. We've had so many challenging challenges in the past. Even myself went through some wilderness for the past 6 weeks, but glory to God, I came out, and I came out strong. God is doing great things. Even in the ministry, is doing great things in our lives. Amen. And I believe that when you, God says, his word says, after you've done everything, stand. Amen. After you've prayed, fasted, prayed unto God, asked him, stand and believe that God is going to do it for you. I just want to speak quickly about the under a theme called guard the gates. These are the times where we need to really guard the gates. Our gates, if I can just break it down, our gates, what we hear, what we see, what we do, how we be, how whom we associate with. Guard the gates. Guard whoever that wants to associate with you. Have you ever heard this saying that wrong, guilty by association? Sometimes the people, there's a saying that also which says, show me your friends and I'll tell you what kind of a person you are. So we need to really guard our gates as saints in the world, as children of God. Whether we like it, there can be Muslims, there can be Catholics, there can be whatsoever, but God is God. Amen. We cannot change the order of God. The fact is, God, he alone created the world. We cannot come and say there's another second and third Messiah or the fourth. The Messiah is only one, and that is Jesus. There's no other Messiah. There's no other chief prophet or chief apostle. I've never heard of it. It's only Jesus who is the head, and we are his followers. We are the bride. Amen. He is the groom. So we need to follow all his statutes. Everything that he has left us, he says, we in the last days will experience some difficulties, but we should know that these are just birth pangs. So these are just birth pangs, saints, that we're going through. God is about to come. God is closer. So we really need to guard the gates, our gates, how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves. Are we making good examples, in the community? Are we making changes? Are we preaching the gospel? Are we evangelizing? Because I feel that the mighty revival is just around the corner. Are you going to be ready when that mighty revival happens? And revival doesn't just start. Amen. It starts with us. Amen. It starts in our homes. It starts with how we conduct ourselves. It starts with us ministering to others and telling them about the good news about Jesus himself and what he has done in our lives. Testimonies change people's lives. Amen. Nehemiah 7:3 says, I said to them, do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day, and even while the gatekeeper are on duty. Have them shut and bar the doors. Amen. Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on regular watch. Some will serve at entry points, and some in front of their own homes. And this is what I've just stated now, that we really need to guard the gates, even at our own homes. Amen. There are gatekeepers, there are watchmen. So what kind of a watchman are you? Are you watching over your home properly, or you are a watchman that sleeps? In Sunday I preached under the theme called the watchman. Amen. I even made an example with a dog, that a dog is the best watchman, even if it doesn't bite, but it's able to bark. A dog can sense something that is wrong. Amen. If we can be like dogs, even if we are sleeping, but we can hear when the enemy is trying to invade our space. That's a proper watchman. And the gatekeepers should be intercessors. People who are continuously praying, as the book of Thessalonians says, that pray without ceasing. We need to be praying in this season and pray that God help us to guard our gates and give us the strength, because sometimes things come against us and we lose our focus. But by God's grace, we are able to even continue with the race that is before us. Amen. Just to give you just a picture of the gate. A third gate is usually a dual or double leaf, or a single leaf movable barrier hinged to a fence wall, which opens or shuts to grant or deny access to persons, animals, or vehicles. In the simplest sense, it is a barrier designed to lock friends in and enemies out. Amen. Gates are erected to control entry and exit into a house, block of apartments, office complex, city, institutions, towns, estate, animals, pens, car parks, sports stadiums, entertainment venues, national parks, military garrison, power and water plants, airports, seaports, country borders, and etc. Amen. So you can see how important is the gate. So it depends whom you allow in your space. Amen. I've always said recently that this is the season of prayer. There's no time for us to just relax. We should be like the Daniel. Daniel prayed three times. We should be knowing the times and hours of prayer. Amen. We should be able to engage in spiritual warfare. Amen. We can see what we see on TV. I mean, even the sermons that are preached these days, you know, you can be anointed. There are people that who are not even anointed, who are not even called, just because a person felt that is a good speaker, or is a motivational speaker, that he thinks that is a pastor. So we also have to look out for those. Amen. Moses he couldn't speak. You know, he used to stammer, but God gave him an anointing and power. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can preach good sermons and whatever, but as long as people don't change, then that's the problem, because the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that you carry, it's able to turn and emancipate people. Amen. And turn them to God. It doesn't matter. We've got false prophets, we've got false pastors, false apostles, and now people, they've got this thing that they want to hear whatever the pastor is telling them. And they check first who you are. They don't seek the kingdom of God. They don't, I feel like they don't even have the spirit of discernment to discern whether this person is the man of God or the woman of God. They just, you know, they're tossed by the wind. Wherever the wind blows, they go there. Amen. And that is the problem that we are facing in this day and times. And people are led astray, and it's because they don't guard their gates. Amen. A person who prays and fasts and be obedient to God, you know, devil, even if he can camouflage himself with as a light or whatsoever, you are able to see through it that this is not of God. And these are the times that we need to wake up as Christians and stand for the truth and also guard the gates and not support something that is not of God. Amen. Proverbs 4:23-27 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil." Jesus, this is a very powerful scripture. We shouldn't even as I've just mentioned, that, you know, we should just not involve ourselves in anything that is ungodly, because we don't know tomorrow what's going to happen. Amen. We always have to guard our gates, guard our hearts, because out of our hearts flows the issues of life. What is flowing in you? What is flowing from you? What is flowing from you? Are these issues of life good or bad? Are you a person that is able to change people's lives through God's word? Because it's not about being a pastor. Some of the people are sent by God. You know, they're sent by God. It's not about the title. You know, these days we run after titles like it's a fashion. You know, everybody wants to be an apostle. Everybody wants to be a bishop. But people, they don't understand that there's responsibility out of that. When God gives you the grace of leading people, of serving Him, there's a responsibility there. It also gives you responsibilities. So some of those people whom God initially called, they've moved away from God, because now they are no longer after God's heart. They are not after the kingdom of God. They are after material things, and they forget that after these material things, when when you die, what happens next? You're going to answer to God with everything that you've done, because we've got an assignment and task that we need to accomplish. And God wants to reconcile everyone to Himself. Everyone, even those who are denying Him, He wants them back. So guard the gates. Always. Times are crucial, and it's time for the saints of God to tune into the frequencies of heaven by guarding the ears, heart, and the eye gates of our soul and spirit by processing and filtering out of excessive baggage and debt, which has nothing to do with the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. We have to. Things such as gossiping, idle talking, sowing discord and confusion, and indulging in all manner of ungodliness. Amen. Even now, sin is being promoted as Hollywood entertainment through demonic music, television shows, and movies. Shows and movies such as Jerry Springer. I'm not ashamed to say it. There's things that we look at in television. It doesn't make sense. What are we teaching our youth? Those whom we're going to pass the baton to, or the torch. Because we need to make and create future leaders, future pastors, future evangelists. Other shows like vampires, werewolves, Harry Potter, demonic possessions, witchcraft, it's also in movies and music videos that entertain with homosexuality, sexual immorality, violence, and destruction, movies and music, videos that mock and blaspheme our God, but we still allow it. And we entertain ourselves with it because everything to us is okay. We've become so accustomed to anything and everything, even if we see that it's wrong in the eyes of God. There's a video now that I've seen with some musicians, and they say, even if when I'm drunk, it doesn't matter. The fact is, I love God. And you know, they for me, I said, when I look at that video, I said, this is mockery to God. That video, they're singing about party and nice life right in the church. You know, some that are dancing there as if they are possessed. Some that are doing their makeups in the church. But at the same time, you know, even if I felt offended, I said, this is what people of God are doing in churches. Instead of going there and seeking God himself, they're going there to be seen and play in the name of God. They're just playing. But listen, saints, God has charged us. God told us in 2 Timothy, especially the pastors, and especially the people that are serving God. It doesn't matter even if you are not a pastor. As long in your heart you feel that God has sent you, because you've got a conviction there, sitting there, that God has sent you. You don't have to sometimes run after the caller. God has sent you. 2 Timothy says in 2 Timothy 1, 13 to 14, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Love which are in Christ, that good thing which was committed to you, keep the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Revelation 22:14-15 says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Same in the scripture, like in the book of Timothy, God charged us to preach the gospel without fear, and preach it with boldness. He has charged us, especially the men and women of God. We don't have to turn this the way to favor us or to make people feel good. The feel good sermons that of the past, now it's about sensitizing people that the kingdom of God is near. Our Messiah is about to come. Prepare yourselves. Amen. Make sure that your homes are clean, which is the body, your body, the temple. Make sure that your ways are good. Make sure that you're working hard for the kingdom of God, because nothing is for free, saints. Even if we're going to see heaven, not everyone is going to heaven. Don't fool yourself. Hence, it's very important to guard the gates now and look after your lives. Amen. Ruth 4:11 says, and all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who build the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrah and be famous in Bethlehem. Here's what I want to encourage you with, and I'm about to close. Safety has always been the paramount reason for erecting gates in both old times and now, both physically and spiritually. So even spiritually or physically, we have to mend our gates and mend them properly. Amen. Gates were very important in the ancient times. Amen. Because they were able to give people a way in or a way out. Amen. That's why as the watchmen, there were watchmen on the wall and there were gatekeepers. Because even if a watchman can see somebody coming, he'll blow the trumpet. And if the king, like King David, says, no, I know that person is coming to bring good news. When the king speaks like that, obviously the gatekeeper will be able to open. So we need to be active in the things of God like never before. We have to guard these gates. Proverbs 4:20, as I close with this scripture, Proverbs 4:20 to 27, my son, give attention to my ways, incline your ear to my saying, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all the flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. People of God, I urge you, remove your foot from the things of evil. Whatever that is of the world, guard the gates properly. Don't associate with things that they don't connect with your spirit. Amen. God gave us a conscience. That conscience is able to tell you whether something is right or wrong. This is a season that we need to pray more for spiritual discernment, that we may discern more, that we may be able to even hear God when he's speaking to us. Amen. We have to. It is very important. Amen. To pray about these things, to make sure that God hears us, to make sure that God protects us. Amen. It is very, very, very important, saints. I just want to say a prayer quickly as I close. Amen. And as we listen there, shall we bow our heads or close our eyes? Let's pray together. Father, we hear you. I have made you a watchman unto your people. Father, help us to identify your activity in our lives. Help us to feel the weight of giving a warning when the enemy seems to be so active, when your people are under the strain and stress. They need to know what is it that has come against them. Yes, Lord. Amen. Lord, as I declare, you may have given us an unusual insight, or you are about to, because you are about to set us on the walls of our family afresh, or our church, or our city. You are stirring in our heart. Father, help us in Jesus' mighty name to know it is you, and to remember that you have done that in other days, and that you will not let this generation go by without many watchmen. You will not let this generation go without warning, so that we can adjust our lives. Father, even now, you are putting your hand on many who will make a decision about their lives, a spiritual watchmen on the walls of your people or their homes. May you do a great work in your heart, in our heart. And do not let us ever be afraid to blow the trumpets. Father, along with the others, I await for and watch for and expect your anointing on my life to fulfill such an assignment. And you have made me aware of that could happen if they never hear the warning. Enable us in these moments of worship to respond to you and your invitation, which is so critical for the lives of your people and our families in the days and months that lie before us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Saints, see you next week. See you the other Thursday. This is Apostle Vusi from the Living Stone. And it's been a great year. And I want to thank Kayla. I wish you well as we end this last quarter. Wish you well in the Finding My Way radio show. I wish you well with your team. and in everything that you've started, even the entertainment business, the recording company, and everything else that God is opening for you. May God be with you. May God prosper you. May God richly bless you. May God do wonders and make you the watchman that will watch over the world with this radio show. We bless God for you. And we love you as the Living Stone Ministries. And my wife, Prophetess Ndo, also love you. We love you. Our sister, we love you. Our brothers there in the studio, we thank you for the support. And we thank you for this opportunity. May God richly bless you, guys. Saints, see you next week. Speak to you soon. Have a blessed day. Bless you. And bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Thursday. This is Tammy Polk, your host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. I am excited to be with you today, as it is always my goal and my joy to use the power of the written word to inspire, encourage, uplift, and equip women and men to eliminate excuses and excel in life and business. I am coming to you today to introduce to you the topic that I did for my social media audience during the last show, which was a replay, and I wanted to share with you this theme today, and that is your spouse's vision matters too. And I want to dive into what that means and what that looks like. First of all, whether it is business or ministry, part of it should be used to help exalt your spouse and the skill set that they have. What you're doing should also create opportunities for them, and you need to give credit where credit is due as well. Even though it may be quote-unquote yours or quote-unquote your vision, you have to make ways for them to be involved. You know what they are good at. You know what they can do. So give them the chance to flex those muscles and show their skills. Well, Tammy, what are you trying to say? For example, the credit for decorating my office, which is also my bookstore, I give that credit to my husband. I bought one picture. However, when it came to the style of bookshelving, the desk that I have, the chairs that I have, the decorative trinkets that I have throughout the bookstore. That was him. That was him. Even with my branding, when I was trying to decide on things, I gave him, you know, the chance to give his input so that things were more appealing and things fell together well. So now when people that I do business with meet him, they already know his skill set and what it and what he can do, and that has led to opportunities for him. So not only that, depending on what it is that you do or who it is that you serve, your spouse may be your first client. And this is more than just saying, hey, I've got an idea that I want to run by you. No, that's not what this is. You are helping them to start something either on their own or helping them to enhance what they're already doing. You're taking what you have learned to help them get ahead. One of my mentors, Dana, she is the epitome of this. Being a branding and marketing person herself, everything that she learns, she sees how she can use it to help expand her husband's architecture business. No matter what she learns, once she gets her things together, she says, okay, now what can I do for my husband's business as far as branding and marketing? So she treated him like a client, and their business and their ministry have prospered because she shares what she knows. You can't be stingy with what you learn, nor can you treat your spouse differently than anybody else that you would serve or work with in your business. Even though you're dealing with your spouse, they should receive the same level of effort as a client or someone that you serve through your ministry. The only difference that should exist is whether or not you charge them. And that's between the two of y'all. Well, what you have to understand is in helping your spouse, you are helping yourself, because your spouse can help you fine-tune your pitches, your approach, and your ideas. Because you may be used to presenting something one way doesn't mean that everybody's going to receive it that way. So your spouse may say, hey, you may want to change how you present that, because the way that you were trying to get me to see the point of this product or service, I was confused. So that is a learning time for which you're helping yourself, because if they don't get it, then seven times out of ten, there's going to be somebody else that doesn't get it either. This should be your safest business or ministry relationship. It should also be the most fulfilling, and also the one that gets the most effort. To give you an example, my husband loves coaching. He's coached a couple of softball teams over the years. And since I'm always writing something, creating something, I helped him create his own baseball coaching manual. Now, I helped with editing, proofreading, and graphics and things like that. However, that was me using a skill set that I had to build something that he wanted to do. And he presented that coaching manual to someone with a community team, and they ended up bringing him in. So with that, you also have to be supportive of both your spouse's career and entrepreneurial pursuits. That's not always easy, because there will be a time when schedules cross, when you guys are scheduled to do something on the same day at the same time. There's going to be conflicts. However, the best thing that you can do is to work to find common ground so that neither one of you has to give up what you're trying to get done. And that's not an easy thing to do. And that's why it's important that you and your spouse stay on the same page at all times. For me, one thing that we ended up doing was hanging a wall calendar inside of our bedroom closet. And on that calendar, I write down anything that involves me leaving the house or anything that I have to do during the time that he is getting ready to go to work, or things like that. My husband works a night shift. We work on polar schedules, so we have to do things that way so that I can make sure that I'm not about to accept something that's going to have him run late. And then on the flip side of that, he's checking to see what I have to do in the early morning hours so he can make sure that he's done and at home. So it's important that you stay on the same page. And also have their best interests at heart. Don't intentionally do something that will undermine or bring down what your spouse is trying to do. Don't allow their successes to make you jealous and to cloud your judgment. And then don't refuse to help them because things are moving faster and going better with their vision than it is with yours. And that is something that is easy to do and hard to get out of. When we aren't successful or as successful in what we're doing as our spouse, we become very petty and temperamental at times, and we feel like we have to one-up them or do something to take their business down, even if just for a second, so that we have time to recoup and get our stuff together. And one way that we will do that is that if they need help with something, we will refer them to a subpar person, someone who may be able to do what they need, but their reviews are terrible, their testimonials are terrible, people are always complaining about them. You will find the worst person in the industry to send your spouse to just to slow them down. And that's not okay. Another way that you will know that your judgment is clouded and that you're dealing with a jealous mentality is that you'll withhold information that will keep them from making a bad business decision. You will know that they don't need to work with, do business with, partner in ministry with this particular person because of an issue, but you won't let them know that that person has that issue because you're like, you know what? If he works with them or partners with them, it's going to take him forever to get things back on track. And while he's trying to get things back on track, I'm going to be over here doing my thing. And that's not how we should be. We should never leave our spouse on their own. But we should be doing small things behind the scenes to help them. Even when they say that they don't want or need help and that they have it all together. Because with you being the spouse, you're more likely to pay attention to the things that they have looked over and make sure that what it is that you want to do is seriously not needed. And one of the worst things that you can do is say that you don't have time to help your spouse or that you are too busy to help them. You have to realize that their career, their ministry, and their entrepreneurial pursuits are just as important as yours, and they deserve the same, if not more, support from you. It can't be all about you and your vision. You have to be willing to share the stage with your spouse without feeling like you are being slighted. You have to learn to coexist. And one of the best ways to do that is to pray for them and their vision, first and foremost. Second thing, recommend him to those who you know need what they are offering. If there is an event, meeting, conference, webinar, anything like that, that is going to give them the opportunity to spread their wings and get themselves, their mission, and their message out to more people, let them know about it. Heck, buy the ticket or register them for it and tell them about it later. Make sure that they're keeping their calendar straight, that they remember that they have to be somewhere. I can tell you, I have fussed at my husband so many times because he's jumped out of the bed, getting ready to go to a meeting or something, and he goes, oh, no, I'm late. And I'm saying, late for what? Well, I had to be out of the house by this time. Why didn't you tell me? And why isn't it on our calendar? So it's okay to sit back with your spouse and say, hey, what do you have, you know, coming up tomorrow? What do you have, you know, coming up in the next week that I need to know about? Put their stuff on your calendar as well so that you can wake them up, so that you can, you know, remind them. So you can make sure that anything that they ask you to do, any errands they ask you to run, get done so that they're not caught behind the eight ball. You know, make sure that whatever you're doing to prepare yourself to win the day for your business and your ministry, do the same thing for his. And if it comes to a point to where they're hosting an event or they're speaking at an event, you ought to be the first person there and on the front row giving them your undivided attention and tireless effort. They ought to know and feel that you have their back without saying a word. You are all about them and what they have going on at that moment. You are a strong, united front for them at that time. And if something happens to where your schedules are crossed and for some reason you can't be there, and, you know, maybe it's not being streamed live on social media or anything like that, you can always pray wherever you are. You can ask a trusted friend to go in your stead and to keep you posted. If it is being streamed live, I would be commenting so much that they would be ready to ban my comments, ready to kick me out of there, because it's all about cheering them on and what they're doing. You know, if they're being interviewed, share it out. You know, show your support for what your spouse is doing in any way possible. Because like I tell people, your family is often your biggest cheerleader and they are your first line of defense. They're the first people that you see when you open your eyes in the morning, and before you close your eyes at night, they are the last faces that you see. When you come in and you close that door behind you, it's all about your family. So, to summarize all of this, I'm going to give you three things to think about. One, find a way to support your spouse's business, ministry, or career pursuits. Prepare your client strategy for him as you would anybody else. And then whatever you're working on, see if it works for them. So ask yourself, how can I help my spouse through what I'm doing? how can we coexist? Who am I linked up with that can help him or them? I'm reading straight out of my book, so I have to tell myself to generalize what I'm looking at. How can I best support them, and how do I treat them as a client? So this is actually chapter 13 of my book, The Virtuous Businesswoman, inspired by Proverbs 31, and also chapter 13 of The Distinguished Businessman, What a Man in Business Can Learn, from Proverbs 31. So there is a learning opportunity for the both of you. So I do recommend that if you get them together. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. This has been Tammy Polk and the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. I have enjoyed being here with you today, but as you guys know, I dare not end my show without thanking two very important people. First and foremost, Kayla Padgett, my angel, I love you so much. Thank you for everything that you have done and continue to do for me and my family, and for sharing this platform with me and allowing me to be as special as God has made me to be. To Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into applying for this show in the first place, thank you for all of the love and the support, both online and offline. And with that, I end my show. As always, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging, and I will see you next time where we talk about the importance of your reputation. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.